Another tech giant goes public. We'll get you acquainted. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. Americans' tech unicorns Lyft, Uber, Pinterest, they've all been stealing the spotlight on Wall Street. But another billion-dollar giant has been quietly making its way to the New York Stock Exchange. It's Africa's answer to Amazon, and it looks to raise $200 million when it begins trading today. The BBC's Suping Chan introduces you to Jumia.
I need a great deal, the best price I can get.
That's why I shop on Jumia.
The online shop you can trust. It's a message slowly getting through to consumers in Africa, where less than 1% of sales in countries including Nigeria and Kenya are done online. Often dubbed Africa's Amazon, Jumia has been able to grow in markets largely untapped by the US e-commerce giant, which has realised that getting stuff from A to B on the African continent isn't that easy. Jumia has recruited a bunch of delivery partners to ensure reliable service at an affordable price. And it's working. Revenues jumped by almost 40% in 2018. Speaking to the BBC last year, co-CEO Sasha Ponyanek said a good chunk of its customers live in those hard-to-reach places.
The most difficult is to do the last mile and to know the consumer who lives 50 miles from Abuja somewhere in Nigeria. And then going from the port of Lagos to that consumer is the part which is, in my eyes, the most difficult part. And that is precisely what we have created over those years.
Jumia's unrivaled network of warehouses makes it a prime takeover target, says Britton Ladd, a former Amazon executive.
What I believe is going to happen is that Jumia will be acquired by one of the major players, and I would say Amazon is probably the one that would do it.
But there's always room for improvement. For example, of the over 100,000 laptops available on Jumia's Nigerian site, just 18 are available for two-day delivery. In London, I'm the BBC's Suping Chan for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are lower after mixed China trade data this morning, and hours after Uber took the wraps off its pitch to investors ahead of its own stock market debut. Thousands of taxi drivers in Argentina's capital are protesting competition from the ride-hailing giant. They say demand has halved since Uber entered the market 3 years ago. 16 plus 1 is not a math equation, but a Chinese initiative aimed at increasing economic cooperation with Central and Eastern European countries. A summit for the 17 nation kicks off today in Croatia, where China will continue to court participants for its international Belt and Road trade project. While some nations are eager to sign up to funding for infrastructure projects, others have been critical of China's growing influence. After Italy last month became the first G7 nation to endorse the project, the European Commission called Beijing a systemic rival. Now, the newly installed World Bank President David Malpass told the BBC he wants to challenge China on transparency of its international lending practices.
China operates in other countries. Its lending can be transparent, can be effective for the country, can be fully disclosed. This is a challenge that China is actually having some trouble meeting. It's hard to disclose data, and sometimes they don't have the data, and they're being aggressive in their use of those programs. China really wants to find and evolve its role within the world in a constructive way. They are a world leader. They want to be a world leader in terms of development. They've moved so fast upward on the income scale that I think there's lots of spots that they want to fill in terms of their operations globally. This shows up in international fora where one part of China speaks with one voice and other parts speak with other voices. And so they have coordination work to do within China. That's a challenge. But I think they're tackling it and making progress.
World Bank President David Malpass. You're not as good as you think you are at getting your friend's dog to like you, but you are better than you believe at making $1 billion. Turns out there's a science behind people rank their own abilities. Spencer Greenberg is a mathematician and founder of Clearer Thinking. He's identified factors that predict when people will be over or underconfident.
The first factor is how easy the skill is. An interesting example of this is when asked about how good they'd be relative to others at lifting 10 pounds, people thought they'd be better than 71% of others. But at lifting 50 pounds, only 55% of others. So there's a really big difference there. The second factor was on experience. when people are more experienced, they actually tended to be more overconfident. One of the big surprising things is that we all have heard that people tend to be overconfident. But on some things, people are vastly underconfident on average. So, for example, on knitting a sweater, people thought that they were better than only 32% of people.
I guess I might be overconfident. My grandma taught me how to knit when I was a kid.
Well, you have more experience, right?
So. Let's just say I don't think I'll be winning any knitting competitions anytime soon. Now, interestingly, what you found in your research is that men and women are overconfident in stereotypical tasks when comparing their abilities against other people of the same gender. So, for example, men say they'd be better than other men at fending off a zombie apocalypse, whereas women say they'd be better than other women at cooking a meal. Why is that?
Well, we don't know for sure, but one of the four traits that we found tended to predict overconfidence was how much something relates to your personality or character. So if men and women tend to sort of define their personality and character more by these gendered stereotypes, you tend to get this effect where, you know, men think they're good at fighting off a zombie apocalypse and women think they're good at cooking a delicious meal. So that may be the explanation.
So does that tell us that more people just think in gender stereotypes?
You know, it's tough to say, but I do think that some people experience pressure to, you know, have their personality conform to the stereotype.
Okay, so when it all boils down, what does this tell us about human nature?
Well, you know, I think what it tells us is that while we do tend to think we're better than other people a lot of things, when it comes to things that are very difficult, that we don't have experience with, that are concrete, we may actually sell ourselves short relative to others. We may be too timid about actually trying some new difficult thing because we think, oh, I'm going to be so much worse than other people, but maybe you're not.
If you want to see how your confidence stacks up against others, I'll post a link to Spencer's tool on Twitter. I'm at Victoria Craig. In London, with producer Sue Ping Chan this week, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.